Welcome to the Freedom Report.
What I love about Austin Peterson is his love of the battle. He wants to fight.
Austin was, of course, the rabble-rouser, just to make sure I stayed Rothbardian.
We live in a world fraught with danger, and there is a certain amount of danger that the public must endure in order to secure the blessings of liberty.
For economic freedom and personal liberty. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here. Welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. Today is Wednesday, October the 10th, and today we're going to be talking about something really spicy. So when you get this podcast on iTunes, it should say explicit. This is not for the children. This is not for kids. This is for the consenting adult community, because I am speaking with my best friend and sex coach, Kristen Thomas of Kansas City. Kristen, welcome to my podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a delight to have you. You've been on here once before. I think we talked about some similar issues. I think at the time, you were just kind of beginning to explore the idea of going into, is this sex work? Is this what you consider? Is this sex work industry?
No, I mean, I definitely have talked to sex workers, but what I do is not considered sex work. My work is more along the lines of what a therapist does.
Okay, so like, what really kind of captured your interest? What made you want to do this?
Well, when it comes to adult consensual sexual expression, there's just not really anything that bothers me. I do have a degree in psychology, and I was a weight loss coach for a long time. And
you've lost a ton of weight recently, so if she's coaching you on how to lose weight, trust Kristen, because she's probably got one of the best weight loss stories out there. And you're probably going to have a lot of the ladies who follow me reach out, because they should, because it's every time I see Kristen, she just gets smaller, and so she's the incredible shrinking Kristen. And I mean, she cooks amazingly, but like now she looks amazing and cooks amazing. And she's single, guys. But this isn't just a blatant excuse for me to talk about sex, Kristen. You're my friend, you know, like obviously I want to promote what you're doing, but like there's some political angles to this. There's some interpersonal angles and relationships I think we should talk about, especially with all this Kavanaugh stuff that's been going on. Like, we need to talk about sex and assault and aggression and consent and rape and all this terrible things in order for us to suss out what it is. And I don't want to poison the well. I want to make sure that I don't put a poison pill up, but it would be fair for me to say that you're a flaming liberal.
Yes.
Okay, right. So,
an understatement.
And I'm flaming libertarian. Yeah. But you're like me, you were raised with conservative parents.
Yes.
And you went left and I went right. I went conservative. I went libertarian, you know, and you went liberal.
Well, compared to a lot of my liberal family, I'm
your friends from high
middle
school.
Of the road, you know. I did definitely leave behind a lot of the things that my parents tried to do.
Because they're very Republican, very conservative, you know, very traditional.
Well, my dad more so than my mom. I've even joked that I think my mom is a closeted Democrat.
She
says that she votes Republican, and it's my father. But
patriarchy.
When I called her out on that one time during the 2016 election, I was like, you know, I think you're actually a liberal and you're hiding it from dad. She just laughed, but she didn't say no.
Okay, so you get triggered, Kristen. That's what liberals do these days. Like, we talk about subjects and you get kind of raw, right? You know, if you say, you know, slurs or slang, you know, you get offended on behalf of other people. I mean,
yeah, well, my dad called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas on Friday. Yeah. I had to say, I'm sorry, time out. That was racist. Please don't say things like that.
Like, is it really racist, though? I mean, like, because, like, and the thing is that, like, is it really racist? Are we really denigrating a race? Like, he's poking fun of someone who's not a Native American.
But in the grander scheme of things, is he calling her Pocahontas in a positive context?
But she's a woman in power. I mean, doesn't she deserve to be lampooned like anyone else? Like, anybody in power, like I look at as someone who deserves to be thrown tomatoes at simply for the fact that she decides to exercise authority over me. That's what I feel as a libertarian. So if I'm making fun of Elizabeth Warren's Pocahontas, it's because I believe that she exercises authority. She deserves to have a court jester, a joker, somebody. Like, the problem is that I think Trump won because, like, the left can't take a joke anymore. So anybody who is willing to sort of deflate the egos of like the white liberal population who's offended on behalf of other races and cultures, that's kind of why he won, right? And you know, I didn't vote for him. I'm just saying that. I mean, do you see sometimes the insanity of the left, don't you?
Yes, I see the insanity on both sides. I think that both sides get triggered depending upon what you say. It's just what you say.
I call out the right all the time.
Yeah.
I call out the right all the time.
I think it's an unfair statement to say the left gets triggered. I think it's a fair statement to say people in extremes get triggered.
Sure. Yeah. Stand for the flag. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, patriotic correctness.
How many assholes out there? Sorry, can I say that?
You can say assholes. This is explicit.
How many assholes out there are triggered by someone kneeling or supporting those players that are kneeling?
It's fair.
You know, so I just think that it's a more fair assessment to say that people who hold on to their beliefs and their ideologies too tightly are always
evil. But don't you think the left is obsessed with race and sex and gender and stuff like that, where it's like, you know, the right is obsessed with, like, you know, culture and American values and maybe like 1950s throwback stuff like that. But it's like, they're the people who just really want to talk about race, like race all the time. It's like they're always looking for it. It's like I feel like I have to walk around eggshells amongst a bunch of people with these very fragile egos. And it's kind of like, you know, these are people who, that if in 48 hours, like, they did not have the delivery of the Blue Apron to their door, they would starve and riot, and they'd be looking for guns to murder people, because they would, you know, they may be vegan, but that lifestyle is not sustainable. You know, you realize a vegan lifestyle, like, is not
necessarily not having food delivered to your door. It's not the most sustainable.
Speaking in hyperbolic, you know, extremes here, of course, but these people exist, right? They're lecturing to us every day on Now This News and on BuzzFeed.
Well, you know, when it comes to, you know, getting refocused less on the racism, and more on things like sexuality and gender identity and things
like that.
They're
obsessed with it.
I would say right now, yeah, it does seem like that's one of the things that's very much front of mind, is things like reproductive rights, LGBT rights, and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I don't agree with social justice warriors in a lot of capacities. Mm-hmm. I think that you know me well enough to know that it's not like, yeah, I went to the Women's March, and yeah, I've gone to the March on Science, but I'm also not regularly going to, like, protests. And
yeah.
I don't have a collection of signs in my closet and things like that, or protest t-shirts and things. However, do I believe in equality? Yeah. Have I seen some of my trans friends or gay friends have, you know, being treated unfairly? Absolutely. So I think that there's a lot of people on the left who, they're overly sensitive because a lot of them do possess a high level of empathy for others.
Sure.
That's how I see it.
Yeah,
but, so when you have a high level of empathy for others and you're putting yourself in their shoes, you're more likely to want to defend them even if you're not part of their group.
Okay, so like my, and this is just a jab, but I mean, this is what I believe. I think that's just mental weakness. So why do you think these people think it's so important to police speech, what people say? Like, why does it that we need, why do you think that people feel the need to make sure that we call out other people to police speech? Like, what's the importance of that? Why is that important to make sure somebody doesn't say a word, don't call her Pocahontas? Because who's really going to get offended by that? Is some Native American, like, crying on the side of the road because, like, you know, somebody dropped garbage on the side of the road? Like, are there Native Americans out there who are crying because she's being called Pocahontas? Like, who are you really protecting somebody from?
Back to your original question.
Yeah, why is it important to police speech?
I think that a lot of people police speech because they, it's kind of that, see, if you see something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
That if you are in a position of power because of your race or your gender or the situation, and you see someone who's lacking power having either insults lobbed at them, poor treatment, things like that.
Is there no, but then there's nobody who's fair game.
Because if they don't have power,
but the problem is that in that sense, this is how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be fun and snappy, and we're in an argument. I'm going to cut you off, and you can cut me off too. So it makes it fun, a little conflict. But I'm really, really, who are you saving people from? Like, are there, like, Native Americans out there who are, like, going home, like, oh, they're saying these mean things, and they're, like, waiting for you to, like, you, the white liberals, to come save them? Like, isn't your whole, like, attitude itself, like, looking down on them, saying, I need to save them? Like, you're not a Native American, you're not black, you're not one of them.
Have you ever been in a situation where someone has said something who was had power over you, that put you in a situation where they degraded you, defamed you, did anything like that, and there were people around, and no one defended you, and no one stood up for you?
Not hardly, because I never put myself in a situation where I'm not in a fair fight.
Okay. But that's not how everything is in this world, right?
Sure.
Not everyone has that luxury of not being in a compromising situation.
Right.
Okay.
So the PC police are out there in full force, ready to defend the minorities or the woman or something like that from any aggression, microaggression, could be, you know, like, it. I guess what I'm saying is back, it feels like we have to walk on eggshells all the time. You know what I mean? Like, it's very limiting. It's a chill. I feel it has a chilling effect on free speech.
You don't need to walk on eggshells.
But in order, so here's the thing. in order for us to test the limit, we don't have free speech so we can talk about the weather. So that's what Ron Paul always said. We have free speech so we can talk about very controversial things. And like it feels like nowadays, the only realm where it's okay to explore those ideas is in the realm of comedy and satire, where you can have the past like John Oliver. If you fling bullshit, you can just say, oh, well, I'm a comedian. But we have professors in academia, people on college campuses, and they don't get that right. They don't get that free speech, right? They get shut down. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, again, we're kind of getting off the topic.
Yeah,
of
this
sex
is fun stuff. We're going to get back to it. We've got all the time in the world. We're only 10 minutes in. Keep going.
Austin,
I'm wearing.
Exhausting sometimes.
I'm wearing her out. Yeah, that's how I roll. All right, so let's move on to sex and sexuality. Sex work is, I mean, being a stripper is considered sex work, right?
But a stripper being a cam girl,
right?
Or phone sex operator,
But the thing is like they want to have distinctions. Of course, it's important.
They want to have distinctions, but there's a lot of politicians out there that don't see a distinction.
Right, between like stripping or like prostitution, sometimes, right, where like people will get caught up in dragnets of like the legislation we're getting ready to talk about, FOSTA and SESTA, right?
Yeah.
And FOSTA and SESTA.
Well, the representative who sponsored FOSTA and SESTA, Missouri's own Ann Wagner, flat said in her speech in the Senate floor that she does not make a distinguishment between sex work and sex trafficking. She sees them as sex work leads to sex trafficking. The fact that we have pornography, or we had, you know, Craigslist personals, that even if it's two consenting adults, the fact that they're doing something that's considered to be on the fringe or deviant by her standards means that they're out there feeding the sex trafficking industry.
Right.
She does not make that distinguishment. A lot of politicians are with her on
of
that.
Of course, because they want to, they're politicians here in Missouri who want to make pornography illegal, right? Like, that was legislation.
Even though they're probably some of the top consumers of it.
Oh, probably. Who knows, right? You always find it's like that one preacher man who had the mega church, and then it turns out he was gay and smoking meth, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's always the people who are the greatest pontificators.
Did you see
the
documentary that he was in where he was talking about fucking his wife every single day?
Yeah.
And then all those other guys, I fuck my wife 3 times a day.
Oh, wait, yeah. I'm my wife. That was Bill Maher made a good joke about that, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Isn't it the old adage of anytime you say that you're doing something,
you're probably not. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so, I mean, here's the thing. There's all different types of what you consider sex work, right? Like Kristen was saying, prostitution, cam girls, phone sex operators, right? And I think that, you know, we both agree that prostitution should be legalized, right? And, you know, maybe, you know, conservatives on left and right both don't, right? The people in power don't, right?
Careful, FOSTA and SESTA basically says that if you're promoting sex work or sex trafficking, that you can be prosecuted for even saying that on this podcast.
Well, I don't think Ann Wagner's going to do that because Ann Wagner and I are cool. But here's the problem. The problem is that we have this free speech that exists online, and they're trying to change the law from what it was in 1996 or 1994, essentially.
1996 was when Section 230, the safe harbor, was enacted for interactive computer services. It made them immune from liability for things that, like, you or I generate, that user-generated content.
Third-party content.
Yeah. FOSTA and SESTA made people like Google or Apple or whatever responsible for user-generated content.
Right, which is almost impossible to entirely police, right?
Exactly.
And so it makes it, and so what they do is they write these laws so broadly, and then you get that these websites get caught up in the dragnet, and suddenly they're held liable for all this kind of stuff.
No, let me be clear. Backpage.com needed to be shut down.
In your opinion?
Absolutely, in my opinion. People were selling humans, and then Backpage took action to cover up those transactions.
Gotcha.
And those posts.
They were hiding that.
They were purposely hiding it. So they deserved what they got. Craigslist personals, on the other hand, in my opinion, should still be here.
Because they were just user-generated content, third-party content. But
who cares if my friend or my client or I or you want to post a personal and say, like, hey, I want to get laid tonight.
Yeah, because this is a long-form podcast and we can usually take time to get into stuff. When Backpage was shut down, how were they hiding that? Like, what were they doing in order to hide the sex workers that were advertising themselves?
It wasn't so much that before FOSTA and SESTA they were trying to hide it. It was after the fact that because FOSTA and SESTA is retroactive, they knew that there were things on there that the government could come in and find, mm-hmm. so they were retroactively deleting posts
What's the difference between FOSTA and SESTA?
So FOSTA stands for Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act, and mm-hmm. SESTA stands for Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act. Mm-hmm. They kind of just got lumped into one.
And this passed, but there was only a couple of people who came out against it. Interesting. One of them was a Kentucky representative, Thomas Massey, very much a libertarian Republican.
Well, here's the thing. They had victims of sex trafficking testifying before Congress, right. and how are you going to look young people, men and women, in the eye and tell them that their story doesn't matter? Oh, wait, we just did that with Christine Blasey Ford.
Yeah.
Anyway, but when you've got victims crying about being stolen and trafficked across state lines, terrible things that they go through, we've got a lot of sympathy for people like that, and deservedly so. Absolutely deserve our sympathy, unless you're Santonia Brown and you kill your John and then you're sent to prison. So that's a whole other story that we can talk about here in just a moment. Are you familiar with Santonia Brown?
No, what's that?
She's actually been in the news a lot because there's a lot of celebrities that have kind of come to her aid to try to get people to pay attention to her case. She was taken and forced into sex work as a teenager, I believe at 14. And at 16, she finally, during an interaction with a John, had access to a gun, and she shot and killed him. Mm. And she was prosecuted for that murder.
Murder is a strong word.
It's not even murder. She was defending herself. She was trying to get out of that situation.
But was she like really, like, could she have gotten away without killing him?
Does it matter?
I mean, yeah, kind of. I mean, there are different kinds of laws in different kinds of states. So depending on the state, you know, some of the states
sold by her pimp for a sex act to this man.
Okay.
And so she killed him to prevent the sex act from happening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are things worse than rape, and that's murder, right? So the thing is that every state is going to have a law, right? Like, it may be possible that she, you know, that would be prosecuted if it wasn't considered self-defense, if she could have gotten away some other way. I don't know. I don't know this case, so I can't speak to that. So, like, I'll definitely check that out, and we'll look it up. But you brought up this topic earlier. You were like, hey, Austin, you know, be careful. You might have been, you know, you might be caught up in this dragnet, right? Because maybe I'm promoting sex trafficking by saying that I think it should be legal, right?
Well, because you're saying that sex work should be legalized or decriminalized, really, is what we would really prefer.
Right, right.
Because then legalization comes along with laws. That, and taxes and regulations,
which we hate, of course.
Taxation is theft,
so
course,
of course. That's what my hat says. So we want decriminalization.
Yes, we want decriminalization.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, the way that this law is written.
But I could be held liable.
There was actually an attorney that was on Dan Savage's podcast, and she was talking about, I mean, this was the week before it got passed, so it was in April of this year. And the way she was explaining it, he stopped her and said, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
So are you saying that if on previous podcasts or in my column or things like that, that I have in some way promoted sex work? For instance, a man who's paralyzed and has not felt the touch of a woman in 20 years other than his home healthcare worker.
Right.
If I advised him to go get a blowjob from a professional, you're saying I could be prosecuted? She goes, actually, technically the way the law is written, yes.
Wow.
Because you're promoting sex work. And it's retroactive. So even if 5 years ago on your podcast, you promoted sex work in any way, shape, or form, you could technically be prosecuted.
I had a friend in New York who was always trying to get me to go to those massage parlors and stuff where they do the handies and stuff. And I was like, no, because they're just gross. But that would be prosecutable under it was a crime anyway. You're trying to, the conspiracy to commit a crime. But the crime never happened, just so you know, folks. I get all mine on the free market. It's more like communism, because they're giving it away for free, right? No money's exchanged hands directly.
At least you're not wanting to promote socialism with sex work.
No, of course not.
Hand jobs for all.
Now, you know, exactly. Now, see, isn't that funny? A hand job in every pot. Like, that was, like it's so funny that you bring that up. But I mean, if you think about it, right? You know, if sometimes in legalization you get all these kind of like cross pathways things, right? So what if, you know, if prostitution is legal, should it also be mandatory? You know, and if it's mandatory, right? Because I think some Scandinavian countries, and you can double check me on this, have like some subsidy programs for like those kinds of services to disabled people. You might want to check that out. I think I saw a documentary on that once. It was kind of weird.
If in your society, your society believes that sexual health is just as important as your
it's a right.
emotional health,
that's
or
what
your physical health, that,
So then, I mean, well, then the only problem with that is then the sex worker, if that service must be provided, like that, you can be compelled to provide it, like a doctor can be compelled to provide healthcare.
Yeah, and then you're getting into a little bit of the Handmaid's Tale kind of.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, it's weird, right? So that's the problem.
But I feel like that's something we need to look up.
But isn't that weird though? How strange all these like things happen. You know, freedom is really a dangerous thing in some respects, right? Because like it creates these kinds of. Opportunities for interactions that I think a lot of people aren't comfortable with. Like earlier today, I was talking about like the people, kind of people who are against legalizing prostitution, Kristen. Mm-hmm. There are kind of like two kinds of puritanical attitudes on this. There's like the left liberal attitude about it, right? And then there's the right conservative attitude about it. The right conservative attitude that wants to make prostitution illegal is because it's a crime against God and nature and sin and blah, blah, blah. Right? And on the left perspective, like the reason that they want to outlaw sex work, and I've had many of them articulate this to me personally, is because one, it's a patriarchal institution
that has
control over women's bodies, and two, you're engaging in capitalism, and that's even worse mm-hmm. because you're exploiting a woman using a patriarchal capitalistic system, right? Buying a young male prostitute, you're exploiting them using the capitalistic system.
Or an of age male right. prostitute, doesn't
right.
matter.
So why are they wrong?
They're all wrong.
Yeah, they're all wrong.
They're all wrong.
But why is the Marxist feminist who wants to make prostitution illegal wrong? And why is the conservative Christian who wants to make it illegal wrong? Even though those are the people who are in power and the ones who are making it illegal.
Well, like you say, it's the two different views. It's the religious view versus the trying to like save the world or save people.
Do good,
you know?
We're all gonna
Rather
die.
Rather than recognize that somewhere in the middle there is a non-religious answer, and there is an answer that, you know, there's people out there who are freely giving themselves
mm-hmm.
to others.
But isn't that fascinating, right?
It's their choice.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of people who are forced into it. Yes.
Right.
But there's a way to, like you say, decriminalize sex work and not. Because if you're going that path, then mm-hmm. you're removing the pimps.
Mm-hmm.
You're removing the male patriarchal overview of everything and the control.
But that still happens like at the Bunny Ranch, like in Nevada. Like there's pimps. Like there's John. There's guys that run the show, you know.
True. But if it's also decriminalized, then maybe those men and women out there who want to be sex workers, they don't have to go through the third party.
Right.
Because you as a consumer would have easier access to that person.
For sure. And like,
when it's not in the shadows, when it's.
And you can defend yourself and you can keep your money and there can be a transaction,
exactly.
a record of transaction.
Exactly. So there can be a whole, like, Airbnb for.
For the vagina.
For your vagina.
For the vagina.
Yeah. Airbnb,
bitch. Airbnb. But they don't want that. See, like, the thing is like, from the left, from the right conservative perspective, right? Like, that to them is disgusting, right? They have a layer of disgust for it. And, like, in the left authoritarian, like, the left
because
Marxist.
They think of it, so many forms of sex are gross.
But the authoritarians run the show, Kristen. Like, people like you and I do not run the show. Like, we're not the ones writing legislation, you know? The Bernie left and the Rand Paul right, we're not like the movers and shakers of the Senate, you know, and that's the
right.
problem. You know, it's one of the reasons why I ran, you know, but it's one of the reasons why I lost too, because mm-hmm. of my non-puritanical heretical stands on these kinds of issues, which many people found distasteful because I'm very laissez-faire. I'm very libertarian. Now that doesn't mean I'm libertine, right? I do
right.
think that like there are some standards of values and traditions and culture that ought to be withstood. I believe in the value of the institution of marriage, you know.
As do I, even though I'm twice divorced.
Yes, exactly. And so I think that it's possible to hold these views that might seem contradictory on their surface, but on the whole, I think it brings us to a stronger, more cohesive society because we're not so at war, criminalizing, being so punitive with one another. You know, everything's a jail. You know, you nick somebody's car and all of a sudden
yeah.
it's a federal offense, you know?
Yeah, well, and really, who's paying the price by making sex work, keeping sex work illegal? You know, it's mostly women. It's mostly poor women.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that a lot of what they're doing is to keep them in their place as they see it. But they want, I think that we both have a view that there's a lot of authoritarian people out there that like keeping
mm-hmm.
people poor and sick because
yeah.
they're easier to control.
Yeah.
So those women are easier to control when you keep them poor and sick.
Maybe.
You know, if they're in situations where they don't have income opportunity and the market will find a way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's doing it now. The black market exists. Exactly. Essentially, you're just like getting that off the black market, and you're making it. Did you have something there that you wanted to pull up and talk about? You got some good notes here, Kristen. Don't be shy. You want to change the subject and talk about something else? What else you got?
Well, I was just kind of thinking about, just kind of back to like, you know, they want sex workers on the street.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing. Mm-hmm. They want them so they'll either die or they'll be easily caught.
Okay.
To me, this
topic's lost a little momentum. Let's get into something I think will be a little spicy, a little more fun. And this is probably going to be contentious for us. This is going. Now, I'm a single guy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I don't have a girlfriend. I'd love to have a girlfriend. Uh-oh, here comes all the DMs.
Right.
Creepy DMs, mostly from boys. but when I'm casually swiping on Tinder, mostly left, I didn't vote for Donald Trump, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I see a lot of girls on there, and they write on their profiles, like, if you voted for Trump, swipe left. And that's so annoying that I swipe left. Because, like, first of all, like, what kind, like, I shouldn't have to have a religious test for file for office. Like, I understand people have standards and things like that. But it didn't used to be that, like, the politics had to play such an important part in, like, a relationship with someone. Like, the best relationships that I have ever had some aspects of that politics, too. But, like, I almost feel like love is something bigger and, like, and it comprises so many parts of a human experience. Like, I'm more than just my politics. Yes, I'm steeped in it, but, like, you know the real me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a loving, sweet boy, right? Who has, like, fun and, like, silly things. I like to go to World of Fun and, you know, go swimming and shooting and do whatever. But, like, it seems as if, I know Trump is to blame for a lot of this, right? Polarizing our culture.
Yeah.
But it seems like the ladies have really gone bonkers with the Trump administration now. It's like, they've just, like, they feel like they're under attack, you know? Like, Alyssa Milano is showing up at hearings. Like, we're screaming rape and assault in every corner. And I see, like, these mama bears with this Kavanaugh stuff, right? Where they're, like, worried for their boys. And I feel like we kind of laugh. Yeah, we laugh at boys, like, when they're
in
trouble.
I'm not laughing at boys. I'm laughing at people who think that this is a scary time for boys.
Yeah, because you were talking about Laura Loomer, her tweet earlier, and I thought that was interesting. She's like, there is a war on men. I kind of agree with her. Why do you
disagree? Funny, because we've been feeling like there's been a war on us for a few hundred years.
Okay, sure.
Welcome to the party, bitches.
All right, but are we supposed to delight in other people suffering? Like, when we say, like, oh, like drinking male tears, when I see people drinking cups of male tears, all I can think about are the fathers who, like, held their sons, like, dying from war, like we die in war. You know,
about the mothers who held their daughters after illegal abortion.
Sure. No. I'm just saying that, like, why should we delight in that? Like, if drinking female tears, like, you were saying earlier, like, women...
I take no delight in men.
Yeah.
Feeling like they're scared right now, but I would like to point out, when was the last time that you walked two blocks to your apartment with your taser out?
Well, I don't carry a taser. I carry 9mm these days.
Okay. All right. I walked to my car at night with a taser.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time someone told you after you said you were in a scary situation, well...
Yeah.
Did you have anyone with
but the
you?
Thing is,
you should be traveling in packs.
Yeah.
What were you wearing?
But this was just
dark. You should know better.
No, you're
than
right.
That.
Right. But the thing is I don't
so
want to play the victim.
In
but the thing
boys
is,
boys are taught and what girls are taught.
But
and
I don't
how to protect ourselves.
Right.
The honest responsibility to prevent rape is on the victim. It's always been on the victim.
It always is, has been,
why,
and always will be. Everybody has to protect themselves for every reason, at any time, for any situation that you can be, right? So just this is what I was going to talk about earlier. With
but it's still beyond the not putting yourself in a dangerous situation.
Right.
Beyond all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Victims
yes.
are asked why they didn't prevent their rape.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're male or female.
Yeah, we
victims
had this discussion
are asked why they didn't prevent their rape.
Right. So then you call it victim blaming. But the thing is like what we were discussing the other day, we had a really good talk about this. And I think one of the realizations that we both came to is that, you know, in order for due process to be served, there do have to be questions that are asked, right? In order to ensure that, you know, everybody's getting a fair hearing on both sides, you know, somebody like, especially like if somebody's a defending, it's like if you're a defendant, you're accused of a heinous crime, could be rape, could be murder, could be anything, right? You know, your defender, whether it's a public defender or whether it's a private defender that you hired to defend yourself, is going to ask questions of the prosecution, you know, in order to try and determine the veracity of the claims in order to defend his client, right? And that's part of due process. That's an important part, like discovery and everything like that. But I mean, I think that, well, first of all, I don't want to compete in the victim Olympics, right? I don't want it to be, woe is me, who's got it worse, right? Because I'm giving in to the Marxist, feminist dialectic, right? I don't want to give into that. I want to say, you know, what we want to do is have a society, a culture of strong people. We want to encourage strength. So that knowing that evil exists, knowing that bad things are going to happen to people, right? And that rape will happen and that murder will happen, stabbings, robbery, things like that. But that we do have a culture of strength, that we encourage one another, to people, to defend themselves, to not put themselves in dangerous situations. Like, I don't think it's victim blaming to not, like, if you have a daughter, right? If I had a daughter one day, I would say, you know, don't go to a frat party on Saturday night and drink yourself blind, right? You don't do that. Don't put yourself in that dangerous situation. I'm not victim blaming, but nobody's going to tell me that I can't tell my daughter that. I'm not victim blaming. I'm giving her good advice. Can you see the difference there?
Yes, but how many of these men that have come forward saying that they were raped by their priest 35 years ago have been asked what they were wearing when it happened?
Well, because we all knew, because it was the vicar's altar robes. But that's, hey man, listen, that's not off limits for me. I think that it's a horrible crime, and that it's a massive conspiracy, and the conspiracy is in the cover-up, not just in the acts themselves. Actually, I had a good conversation with a Catholic friend of mine recently on this topic, right? We were talking about rape and overall, and I think you were a little shocked, like, for a moment, you had the realization when we talked about rape that, like, in terms of if you include prison population, like, more men get raped than women, right?
And actually, I looked up those statistics, and I don't think that was accurate.
Double check me on that. We're on the topic of rape. In terms of total overall rapes, if you include the male prison population in, double check that statistic for me. There was another statistic of a topic that we were talking about too that was really interesting. You were talking about false reports and how minuscule it is, minute the number of false reports are. And I looked into that, and you're right. But what the interesting thing is that even though the number of falsely reported sexual assaults or like rapes, for example, is small, it's much more than other falsely reported crimes, right? So being falsely accused of any other crime, it's not even close to in proportion. Like, in terms of crimes being falsely reported, sexual assaults, rape, or some, you know.
You're saying that's higher than any other
falsely reported crime.
Like burglary or robbery.
Well, yeah, or pinning any other kind of, like, you know, crime that you could on someone, right? No,
okay.
I would
but
try and find
overall,
one. It's hard to find one of equal moral, standards.
I mean, it's easy to take that statistic and say, like, oh, well, it's the biggest portion of false accusations. However, how big are overall false accusations compared to, you know, like.
Exactly. It's difficult one to suss out the
data out and say,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, right. Anybody can kind of cherry pick data and put things on a graph and say, hey, this is how we feel about this. It's really, and it can sometimes be difficult, Kristen, even for people like you and I, to find good unbiased data on things like this. Because of many times, because of, you know, the think tanks, institutions who are funding this kind of research, they want to get the results that they want to publish. I've seen it happen. I used to live and work in Washington, D.C., Kristen, for these think tanks, many of them. And not the ones that I worked at, but the ones that were on the tertiary, on the support, like other institutions that I would see, they would do studies and analysis and have these experts come up with what we knew was going to be their preordained conclusion in the first place. So, you know, maybe one thing that would be good for you and I to talk about is, how do you get good information and get good data?
Here's one thing real quick.
Let's hear it.
This is, I mean, I do use Wikipedia a lot.
It's fine.
I do kind of check the sources.
You have to go to the
Wikipedia.
Sources. Yeah.
Yeah. So without doing that first.
What does it say?
In 2011 to 2012, an estimated 5% in state and federal prison inmates and 3.2% of jail inmates reported experiencing one or more incidents of sexual victimization by another inmate or facility staff in the past 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that doesn't talk about, like, over their lifetime, because the statistic is that
talking about men in prison who are raped.
One in five women will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime. So we're comparing, you know, 1 year compared to lifetime. So
right.
That's the other thing, too, is trying to find the numbers for things like that.
Yeah, the thing, too, about the one in five statistic is that, like, the way that they classify it is very broad. So, like, you know,
they say sexual assault. So that could be touching. Well,
yes.
Actually, in most states, penetration has to happen, or touching of a genital area has to happen in order to be considered a sexual assault. Whereas, like, you pinch a girl's ass or grab her nipple,
that's
battery.
And that's how we get to that one in five statistic, because it sounds very high. But then it's like, in different states, they have different standards for what consists of assault, right? And assault, of course, can include rape, but not necessarily. So that's just something to know. And in order for you, the listener, to make a good informed decision about things like this, you have to take into account a broad variety of factors, and you have to try not to cherry pick data, and you have to be suspicious of institutions that do cherry pick their data to make sure that you're being, you know, reasonable.
Yeah, and I think an important part of our conversation that we had the other day about prison rape was the fact that we are so willing to make jokes and make light of prison rape, and I completely disagree with that.
Yeah.
Rape is rape. It doesn't matter how it happens or where it occurs. Mm-hmm. It is not okay to joke about Larry Nassar going to prison and getting raped just because he molested a bunch of girls. Does he deserve to be punished? Absolutely. Should he be in jail the rest of his life? 100%.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we should want an eye for an eye.
I think that's really reasonable of you. And I think that's probably, you know, that attitude probably sets you apart from a lot of people on the left who are willing to accept double standards for themselves. And listen, again, it comes from the right, too.
I saw it on plenty of posts about Larry Nassar and other people, you know, even a friend of mine whose daughter was molested, which is absolutely terrible. But then when he was posting that that man was convicted, people were like, oh, he's going to get his in jail. Well, that's not really fair either.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't wish a terrible thing like that upon a person. Yeah, he did a terrible thing. Absolutely. And he deserves to be punished for it, but not by being sexually assaulted once he's behind bars.
Okay. All right. So we've been going a while and this is good. This is really good content. I mean, this is juicy. I know the audience is going to love this.
One last thing I want to talk about.
But no, I want to get, I definitely want to, we got more to talk about, but I just want to say, like, this is going along and it's great, but it's a good content. So give me more.
Okay, so over the summer, there was a lot of talk, I think in late June, an article came out in Politico that was talking about how all these single young men who are now in D.C. working for the Trump administration can't get a date. And part of me was like, ha ha, yeah, well, fuck them, I deserve it.
Yeah.
I actually, even a couple weeks ago, went to
swipe left if you vote for Trump. Right,
back to all that stuff. I I'm bisexual, and I had a girl hitting on me. We made out, fooled around a little bit.
Woo, that's
I found
hot.
Out that she was a Trump voter.
Oh!
She said, oh, I voted for Obama twice. I'm like, so bitch, what is wrong with you? Why would you fucking do this? Because you hate Hillary? Go suck some dick. She's bisexual, too.
This is getting so hot, man.
No,
we had to turn off the AC.
I'm getting so sweaty. Bad. So I was like, woo! Boo!
You made out with a Trump supporter.
I did make out. That's the second Trump supporter I made out with. But the first one was before he voted for Trump. He was just saying he was going to vote for Trump. But that was also a crazy night in New York City. We won't talk about it.
I'm going to New York here in a couple of days. What happens in New York stays in New York.
That was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
2 years ago, because those are pictures of you
that
and I.
That was 2016, wasn't it?
It was
2016 because it was when we went to New York for Liberty Fest. And,
and that was with Stephen Gordon, who just passed away, too. I don't know if you heard that. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, the really nice guy. Yeah, and Laura
Loomer. That was our night with Laura Loomer.
Laura Loomer,
what was his name, Matt?
Remember, I got so sick that night. I was like puking. We had to get on the airplane so early. I was like running away. Okay, we got to stop talking about this night.
DM me if you want
DM me. Don't you dare DM Kristen.
Hey, what happened in New York?
What happened in New York? That night stayed in New York. It was a Vegas and New York night. That was a wild night.
Hopefully,
I'm really excited to go to New York here in a couple. I guess it's tomorrow now because this is Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'll be in New York with the Judge Napolitano and, in a tuxedo. I'm going to be an MC for an event, the Atlas Gala. It's going to be pretty cool. Excited for that. Yeah.
So, again, these Trump supporters are finding they can't get a date.
Because,
like you say, so many women have on their profile, or in men, too, swipe left if you voted for Trump.
Right.
They don't have anything to do with you. So, your original question
They don't say if you swipe left, you vote for Hillary, by the way. I don't see any of those.
Okay. I'm not on any dating sites, so I'm not saying
you don't have
to
be.
I know, right?
The rest of us needs a mouth.
Really.
Not really, but...
It's hard for you to meet 20-year-olds in public.
Shut up, Kristen.
20-something, not 20 on the dot. 20-somethings. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I will admit, even as a relationship dating and sex coach, I do lack a bit of empathy for folks that are in that predicament. Because your choices
Their choices
say a lot to other people. Okay?
But maybe they just don't like their taxes being raised. You know what I mean? Like maybe they're not a racist. You know, maybe they're not a bigot. Maybe they're not a homophobe. Maybe they just thought Hillary was corrupt. You know, and I mean, is that punishable by?
Okay, so for instance, that girl, could she not have voted for Gary Johnson or written in Bernie Sanders.
No, I don't care. That's the thing.
That's the thing. Her, it was like a protest vote because she was pissed about
what the liberals all the time
did to Hillary. So that's fine. It is her choice, but your choices also have consequences.
Yeah.
And
I just wish people weren't so closed-minded all the damn time. Because the thing is that when I sit down...
to a lot of people on the left, not saying me, but to a lot of people on the left, voting for Trump says a lot about your overall beliefs. And there is a stereotype. I know that when people look at me as a white woman, if they are not also a white woman or a white man, they probably look at me and go like, you're part of the reason Trump got in office. Because most white women voted for Trump. So a lot I of get them lumped into that.
Well, no, we think you're liberals, and we think that because you're all a bunch of flaming liberal triggered feminist SJWs, we think you all voted for Hillary, and that's why Trump got elected, because Hillary was so damn awful, and we had all these white women screaming down our throats about being racist, sexist, bigots when we're just trying to like put food on our table and provide for our family, you know, and not have our guns taken away. You know,
perception's reality. That's their,
sure.
Their perception.
But you know what happens?
Voted for Trump.
You know what
it has
happens?
Nothing to do with taxes. Their perception, if they're on the left, extreme left especially, their perception is that you are anti-choice.
Yeah.
You're pro-life, but you don't give a shit about kids once they're on this planet.
Yeah.
That
Okay, I know why they do it.
Again, they have that perception of what it says about you overall and your beliefs if you voted for Trump. And
yeah, well, here's the thing.
That's their problem.
I get it, but here's the thing. I spend a lot of my time in cities, okay? And I hang out with a lot of liberals, all right? So I know, like, what their kind of preferences are. If nobody comes into a conversation, if it's not prefaced, if it's not like, oh, Austin, he's that crazy libertarian or he's a Republican now or something, then, you know, they almost can't even tell that I'm not agreeing with them on certain issues, simply because if I disagree with them, you know, I probably won't say anything because I'm always looking to de-escalate conflict. I'm not as much a troublemaker as I used to be. Mm-hmm. And then once they find out that I do disagree with them on these issues, it kind of is a shock to them. It's like, oh my God, what do you mean you don't celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day instead of Columbus Day? I'm like, I don't really celebrate either one. First of all, I'm not Italian, you know, and second of all, I'm not a triggered liberal. But I sort of feel like that we could come to a better understanding if we didn't have those kinds of preconceptions about people in general, right? Because like so many times, if you don't get introduced to somebody in a negative way, which is what like partisans are supposed to do, right? Their whole point is to smear somebody with enough slime to make sure that when you go on a Google search, you will never like that person, right? Like there are some liberal websites and people like that on Twitter and that are out there in blogs who like will try and find anybody who's like finding out about Austin and say, well, he's a racist, sexist, bigoted, misogynist, homophobe, right? It happens. It happens probably every day, once a day at least, you know, several times a week. And so I guess that if we really want to come to a better understanding across these cross party lines, right? And I hate the party system, but across just like ideological lines or just like freaking, you know, cultures.
I think that both sides are so willing to find fault in other people.
Yeah.
I mean, I even had this conversation by text with a friend the other day that there's a secret Facebook group that some of my friends are on where they'll post like screenshots of like really bad conversations or guys really awful profiles like with the bathroom selfies that barely cut off just above the top of their dick. Just, you know, douchebag profiles, things like that. But a lot of the women in that group, as my friend said by text, they're all looking for the worst in someone. They're all trying to write people off from the get-go. And I agree with that assessment. We are all looking at people's profiles and going, yes, 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 nope, next. And I don't like that mindset.
Yeah.
I really don't. Because there's
I just want somebody to love me, Kristen, and not Google me.
I didn't agree with them 100%, I know. But we still had a great time.
I know.
And
great
sex and hung out and had a good time. But would we have worked out in the end? Maybe not.
Yeah.
But...
I'm fucked though because like I have a Wikipedia page and so the immediate thing every girl who Googles immediately is gonna have a preconceived opinion about
it. And I am not a fan of Googling the shit out of everybody before you go on a date with
them. That's the problem is because you get those preconceptions, right?
Yeah,
right. Somebody
exactly.
assumes I'm a Republican and must have voted for Trump.
I prefer to look up somebody after I go on a date with them.
Well, good for you.
I hung out with a guy last weekend, had a great time. But afterwards, I definitely looked up. You know, he said he was divorced. That's one thing I always do now is I look up every guy I go on a date with to see, make sure, are they actually single? Are they actually divorced? And sure enough, yeah, he was. That was all I really looked at. I looked at his Facebook to see if he was on there. I already had his Instagram because that's how we met. But I wanted to get to know him. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to come into it. Just drives me crazy
because it's like, I'll be on a date and it'll be like, they'll like ask me questions about like personal stuff that it's like, whoa, you know, it's like.
Like what?
For example, like one of the big controversies that people have, you know, smeared me with mud.
Can I guess?
Like, go ahead.
Pyramid of Pussies?
No! Not that one. Close. It was the Sugar Daddy website, right?
Okay.
And like, you know, I've dressed it plenty of times. Mm-hmm. And, but like.
So what do they like, find a Google article?
Well, yeah. Or? Like they'll go out and like find like the dirt. Okay. You really have to search for that kind of stuff. Yeah. If I'm not talking about it like I am right now, bring it back up. Uh-huh. But I mean, yeah, I was on one like 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, they assume, you know, they try to assume the worst of you. Maybe that you paid for sex, which I never did. Because I don't have to, baby. Come on, look at me.
Sorry.
It's AP. It was like, you know, this girl that I was like, you know, going to try and ask out and like be sweet to, because like that's my game is like be a nice boy, was like throwing that stuff in my face and was kind of like, whoa.
Why is she even going on a date with you then?
You know what it was? Because she wanted my money. She actually worked for, she was a gold digging, but in a weird way for her business. She was like trying to get financial services out of me. It was a worst date I've had in a long time. A terrible, horrible date. That seems like that's all I have, but you know, still, it was like,
you had a few good dates.
Oh, I've had a few. I had a wonderful date actually just recently. Good. When I went out and rode around in the Corvettes, it was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember that weekend Laura got married?
Yes.
That was fun. That was a great date.
Didn't you break your dad's car?
I didn't break my dad's car. Kristen, this is not for public consumption. The car, the Corvette will be fine, even though we have to take the engine out of it. But it did break while I was driving it, but it wasn't my fault. Anyways, no, you know, the modern relationships are a minefield. And, you know, somebody like me in my position, like, it's awkward. And, you know, you get people, I'll get like...
It's hard being on the C-list.
Am I on the C-list now? I thought I was on the D-list.
Oh,
no, I don't think I've gotten off the D-list quite yet. Yeah, D-plus, though. Okay. I think that I was D-minus on my Libertarian presidential run, and now I'm D-plus in my U.S. Senate run.
Okay.
One day, maybe I'll be able to scooch a B, you know, maybe if I flirt with the teacher, whoever it is. Anyways, this has been a lot of fun, Kristen, but I want to cap this all off. We're talking about what it is you do just briefly to so people can understand. You know, you offer your services to the general public for profit.
Right.
So you're a heartless capitalist. So you want to exploit these people and their problems for pay. No, tell us what it is that you really do and how you're delivering your message to people.
Sure.
And what's that all about?
Well, I say I help people with their love lives.
Yeah. You got a business called what?
Open the Doors Coaching.
Three Little Birds.
You can find me at openthedoorscoaching.com.
Beautiful logo.
Thank you so much. I love my logo.
Three Little Birds.
Yes.
On my
yes.
doorstep.
Everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, that was what I wanted people to think of when they saw my logo.
And, you know, what are your clients kind of like looking for? What kind of services are your clients looking for?
I help people with such a wide variety of things. Like I said, being a relationship, dating, and sex coach, and helping people with their love lives, it's really all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
I help singles. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's helping them with their dating profiles. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's helping them get their confidence back after the end of a marriage or mm-hmm. a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's coaching them on changing their style, losing weight, even doing practice dates to help people with better communication, help them with their body language. For example, I have a client that has autism, and he... not only didn't really know all the ins and outs of sex, including how babies are made, he has a lot of issues with being able to pick up on cues, social cues from the women he's dating. So I've been helping him with things like that. With couples, a lot of times it's just helping them with communication. It is not necessarily helping them open their marriage or explore BDSM, although I have helped couples with that. I don't help couples that are on the verge of divorce. I help couples that are genuinely pretty happy, but they aren't having the best sex of their lives.
Yeah, for that they go clinical, right?
Right, yeah. If they've got some really deep-seated issues, trauma, things like that, they probably need therapy first.
Uh-huh.
Or while they're seeing me, they can see a therapist. I'm working more on the things that are, you know, from here forward.
Uh-huh.
When you're looking to the future, you know where you're at,
uh-huh.
but you're not happy with it, and you're ready to make change. If you've dealt with the past, if you've dealt with your baggage and your bullshit,
uh-huh.
that's when I come in.
Uh-huh.
I also offer my services for like transgender clients if they wanted to have someone to go shopping with
uh-huh.
To help them pick out good styles for them or find a makeup artist or a hairstylist
mm-hmm.
that is going to support them through their transition. I love being a part of the LGBT chamber here in Kansas City. It's mm-hmm. a wonderful chamber of commerce, and they're very much focused on relationships first, business second, mm-hmm. and I've built up some really great relationships there.
So where do people go if they want to like get more information on
you? Sure, they can go to my website, which is openthedoorscoaching.com. Mm-hmm. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Open the Doors Coaching. My friend Kristen Thomas is a beautiful woman, and I mean that in the sense of her soul. She is, of course, she's physically attractive. She's got the most beautiful blue eyes I've ever seen. But Kristen is really wants the best for people. She is a caring and loving person deep down. She's tough as nails. She's a tad prickly from time to time. But I love her, and we're friends from way back, and there are some things that are more important than politics, relationships, mm-hmm. right? That's yeah. right, relationships. And that's what Kristen is all about. Kristen, I'm just delighted to have this conversation with you. We must do it again sometime. Absolutely. Let's not make it too long like we did last time. And openthedoorscoaching.com is where you can get you on Facebook, Twitter, hit her up, Kristen Thomas.
Follow me on the socials too, please.
Follow her on the socials.
Love to hear from you. Also, I write a lot. I do a lot of blogs. Mm-hmm. I'm always open to suggestions if there's anything, a topic that you'd like me to discuss or explore, or I love interviewing people even more than that. So yeah. if you've got a really interesting story that you'd like to share and you think I should write a blog post about it, feel free to send me a message. You can find my information on my website.
Ladies and gentlemen, the only reason why you're able to get interesting and unique conversations like this and unique points of view and discussions on controversial topics and dangerous topics is because of the support of listeners like yourself. If you're listening to the Freedom Report podcast right now on SoundCloud, Podbean, Patreon, whatever it is that you're doing, or not on Patreon, but that's what I was getting to, is essentially you need to support us on Patreon because this is brought to you by viewers like you, as PBS would say.
Yeah.
Brought to you by viewers by you. The only reason we can do things like this is because there are now, we got 19 people so far nice. Supporting Patreon. That's great.
I'm about to sign up for my own Patreon page.
So. There you go. She's going to set up her own as well, and I'll do everything I can to help support her. Kristen's a wonderful woman. But do me a favor. If you want more Freedom Report podcasts and you want more Libertarian Republic, if you want more news about freedom, liberty, and not holding back, no holds bars discussions about the issues that you really care about, but that you're afraid that if somebody listens to this, can hear this, you can't play this out loud at work, that's for sure. Not this episode. But pretty much everything we talk about is going to trigger somebody. Some Pocahontas somewhere is going to be crying. Some Native American somewhere is gonna have throw some garbage on the road, and there's going to be some Native American crying. It just won't be Elizabeth Warren because she's not Native American. Have a great night, ladies and gentlemen. Patreon.com/AP for Liberty. AP for Liberty on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Hit me up. Send me some messages. If you guys have got some cool messages, I will read them and your questions into the next live stream or podcast. And do you want to have the last word, Kristen?
No, I was just going to say thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day, guys.